Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. My name is Dean Bobar. I'm the adult life minister here, and welcome to you at home, and it's so good to be with you all in person. How many of you remember the first time you flew on a plane? How many of you remember that? I'm really fascinated with flying. For those of you who might know me well, know about my dreams, I frequently dream about flying like Superman. Like not just kind of, you know, lightly soaring through the sky, but like supersonic speeds. Like that's a really good dream when I'm, usually it's just more kind of low flying, but when I'm really flying, those are really, really cool dreams. How many of you know the story of the Wright brothers and their first flight? Or have heard parts of it? I was thinking about flying this week, and I went back to history.com to kind of remind myself about their story, and it's actually pretty cool, because it's about things like science and mechanics, but it's also really about they had a key inspiration, a key insight that allowed them to create the first key kind of flight. So they had always been working on different mechanical projects, keeping up with scientific research, and they closely followed the research of a German aviator named Otto Lilienthal. When he died in a glider crash, the brothers decided to start their own experiments with flight. They were determined to develop their own successful design. So Wilbur and Orville headed to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, an area known for its strong winds. They observed that birds angled their wings to balance and control and try to design wings for flight to emulate this concept. They developed this concept called wing warping, and this was their key insight. They then added a movable rudder on the back, and they found that they had the magic formula. Everything came together. The science, the engineering, the way of thinking about it, it all came together. And then on December 17, 1903, they succeeded in flying the first free, controlled flight of a power-driven, heavier-than-air plane. Wilbur flew the plane for 59 seconds at 852 feet for an extraordinary achievement. Because flight's really amazing. I mean, think about it. You have this giant metal container, basically, with wings on it, flying at several hundred miles an hour all over the world. Like, 1,000 years ago, if you would have told people that was possible, they would have thought you were crazy. But they were able to do that. They're able to make that happen, to start this magic that we get to experience over 100 years later. And I love that they drew their inspiration from birds. They looked at those who could receive the power and the direction of the wind and use it to fly. Now, God the Father has sent Jesus in the Spirit to do his ministry, his calling, his work. Do you know what the word Spirit can also be translated as in both the Old and New Testament? Wind. Yes, it can also be translated as wind or breath. And the Spirit's kind of like the wind at times. And we too have been sent by the Father in the Spirit to witness. We've been sent by the Father in the Spirit to witness. Last week we talked about being sent by the Father. Now we're talking about being sent in the Spirit. Jesus asks us to look to him to know how to receive the Spirit and fly. We're in week two of our Sent Sermon Series, where we're exploring our identity as God-sent people, especially in the midst of the physical limitations of quarantine. We're still God-sent people. God is still sending us to do things. And yes, you too are sent, not just the Moonies, although they are sent as well. And they would say, we're all sent, right? You would say in every conversation that they too are, we are all sent where we are at. They just go to a different country to do it. Last week, we focused on being sent by the Father, just like Jesus. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Christ has sent us as his ambassadors into the world to participate in the Father's mission. Our mission is somehow an extension of Jesus' mission to save the world. And this week we're going to see that just like Jesus, we too have to depend upon God's Spirit to accomplish God's calling in every area of our life. Remember last week, if you were here or heard it online, that we talked about how God sends us into every area of life. There's no area of life that's not touched by Jesus' calling in our lives. And so Jesus, we see in John 20, breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Spirit." And they do. We're taking our cue from Jesus' words in John 20, the second passage Tanya read so well, and the first passage is coming from before the cross. So after the cross, we're hearing about Jesus talking about being sent by the Father in the Spirit to witness. And before the cross, we're in John chapters 13 through 17, hearing from Jesus about how he prepared his disciples for his departure. This earlier teaching helps us to know, what did Jesus mean when he talks about us being sent? So John 14, the passage that Tanya read, will help us to grasp how we are sent by Jesus in the Spirit. In particular, we're going to look at two titles that are in that passage. Number one, the Helper, and second of all, the Spirit of Truth. The Helper and the Spirit of Truth. Two titles for God's Spirit. Each one gives us a window into what it means to be sent in the Spirit. We're going to learn how the Spirit helps us to fly. We need both the power from the Spirit as the Helper, and we need the direction of the Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. Just like the Wright brothers, we need to learn to rely on both the power and direction of the wind of the Spirit. So let's get started with our need for power from the Helper. Jesus sends us in the Spirit, who is the Helper. You see, we need the Spirit to enable us, to get us in on the action, to participate in God the Father's mission, as we're sent as Christ's ambassadors. Now, the title is this Greek word, Parakletos, or Paraclete. And it's a really difficult word to translate. There's lots of different English words that can translate this word. Now, you might have noticed there's a pair of shoes up here. Did anyone notice that? These are actually my son Charlie's shoes. These are his Heelys. And it's round two for Heelys. How many of you have kids or grew up or have grandkids that have Heelys? There are these special shoes with wheels in them, in the heels, hence the name Heelys. And you get to, like, skate on them, I guess, or go along, and you can go super fast, and it's really cool. I have no idea how to do this. Sarah doesn't know how to do this. We've never really used them. So when we got the second pair, the first pair were just too small. It wasn't quite the right time. But we got the second pair, and Charlie's really practicing hard, and he's picking it up. And the second time around, we watched this instructional video. And I don't know, we might have watched an instructional video the first time around, I don't remember. But I know the second time we did, and one of the key things they said is you have to have someone walk alongside you to hold on to you so you get used to it, so you're able to figure out how to do it. And I was doing this last Sunday and thinking about the Holy Spirit and thinking about the sermon, and I realized I've got a great sermon illustration. I was coming alongside Charlie in that moment, and I was being a paraclete. Because it literally means one who is called alongside to help. One who is called alongside to help. So when Sarah and I do that with Charlie, when we're walking with him, we're like a paraclete to Charlie. This term can be translated in more legal terms, like a counselor or an advocate. And we'll talk about the Spirit working in that way more next week. Or it can be translated in more personal terms, like comforter, encourager, or helper. And that's what we're going to focus on today. There's so much we could talk about with regards to the Spirit's work, but I want to focus on the Spirit being our helper to serve God. We're probably more used to hearing about spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. And God's Spirit himself is also spoken of as a gift, as the promise from God the Father. But it's important to realize that God's Spirit is not just a mere power, but relating to a person. When we're relating to God's Spirit, to the Paraclete, to the Spirit of Truth. Jesus is calling us to participate in the very mission of God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. There's three persons in one God. So we speak of the triune God. I love what Irenaeus, a second century early church theologian, says. He speaks of the Spirit and the Son as being the two hands of God. It's as if God rolls up his sleeves and is at work in the world. And he's been at work since the beginning through his word and through the Spirit. And we hear in John that Jesus is the Word made flesh. So the Father sends Jesus in the Spirit to save the world. Jesus, in turn, sends us in the Spirit as Christ's ambassadors to take part in what the Father's doing. Are you guys tracking with this here? So God the Father sends Jesus in the Spirit, and he says, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. So receive the Spirit. Because I was sent in the Spirit, and you too are being sent in the Spirit as my ambassadors. But what work does Jesus have for us as his ambassadors? You might remember from last week how we talked about ambassadors are those who are sent in the name of someone else. They speak and act on behalf of those who sent them. And Jesus himself talks about himself as being sent by God the Father. He's going to say and do everything God the Father has told him to do for his work. So we too are sent in the name of Jesus. Just as Jesus was sent, you could say, in the name of the Father. But think with me about all that Jesus has done. What are some of the things that we see Jesus doing in the gospel? Just you can raise your hand and yell it out. What are some of the things we see Jesus doing in the Gospels? Healing the sick, good. Feeding the hungry. Raising the dead, good. What else? Maybe a couple more. What's that? Healing the blind, yeah. Providing food, what was that? Forgiving, yes. Yeah, forgiving, extending God's forgiveness as part of God's kingdom coming. And he's sacrificing himself on the cross. And sending us, yeah. So in chapter 14, verse 12, we hear Jesus say this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. So Jesus says, not only are you going to do the kinds of things I have been doing, but you're going to do even greater works. Wait. Hold on a second, Jesus. What are you talking about? This is pretty amazing stuff. I'm going to do greater stuff than you did? Have you seen the kind of things you've done? How is this possible? How does this work? Well, beginning with Jesus' disciples, the Father and the Son give us the Spirit, pour out the Spirit to indwell us, to empower us, to transform us, to guide us. But what makes our works greater than Jesus? I mean, he's the Son of God incarnate in the flesh. How can we do greater works than Jesus? Well, we continue to do the Jesus kind of works, but now it's not just limited to the people of Israel, to the land of Israel. It's worldwide, it's global. God sends us all over the place. Now, certain works of Jesus get the main billing, right? People often think of the miracles, the healings, the resurrections from the dead. But there are also other less flashy miracles, so to speak. Speaking the truth in love. Teaching forgiveness. Imparting God's forgiveness. Bringing about reconciliation as people interacted with him. Teaching repentance. Helping people to repent, respond to God's mercy, to the gospel. Helping people to embrace a new way of life. We could go on and on and on. You see, Jesus' work is all about recreating a new humanity in him. That's one of the ways that we can think about it. In the first creation, God breathed on Adam and brought him to life. In the second creation, in the new creation, Jesus breathed on his disciples and gave them the Spirit to recreate them as children of God. We are sent by the Father to take part in God's renewing of the world through Jesus, this new creation work. And Jesus sends us in the Spirit to transform people. That's what God is up to when he sends us in the Spirit as we're taking part in the Father's mission. So let's just take a breath and just think about this, about you taking part in this. Does this seem overwhelming or even impossible? At times, does this seem like, you know, I don't know that I can do this. I at times feel that way when I get certain callings from God. Good. this is a great place for God to meet us when we're in that kind of place. As I talked about last week, there's so many small, ordinary acts of love that God can and does use to bring about this renewal. And Jesus has sent you by the Father in the Spirit to right where you're at. You are still part of God's sent people, so that God's Spirit can enable you to serve God and change people's lives. Do you ever have those moments that test what you believe? Like, do I really believe this? Several years ago, Pastor Gary hurt his back on a Sunday morning. And I remember very vividly, I remember coming at 7 a.m. I was right over there by the walk, by the entryway between the palm trees. And I see Susan, his wife, driving Gary. And he's just in agony and pain. And he says, I hurt my back. Can't preach this morning. I'm going to the hospital. Some of you who were there might remember that morning. We were just shocked. And he says, just go ahead and, you know, pray, worship in song. And in that moment, I said, God, do you want me to preach? Do you want me to speak? And I felt prompting, yes. So I said to Gary, I said to other staff, I said, I think I can do this. I think God wants me to do this. And so I took an hour out and just got a pad of paper, wrote down some notes, thought of a couple stories. God let me do a couple stories, wrote some things down. And to be quite honest, I was freaking out because I'd never done anything like that before. But it was one of those moments where I said, you know what, God, I'm going to let go of all that fear and just trust that you're going to work as you've called me to this. And that was one of those moments that God taught me to trust in him, in his power, in his direction. And it didn't end up being a disaster. God ended up using that time. God used the power, the direction of the Spirit, because I relied on him. To fly, the Wright brothers had to figure out how to rely on the wind's power and direction. They had to angle their wings in just the right way. You see, the Holy Spirit is not only the helper, but he can also be called the Spirit of Truth. God's Spirit leads us into the truth that sets us apart to be servants of God. I'll say that again. God's Spirit, as the Spirit of Truth, leads us into the truth that sets us apart for serving God. And there's a whole lot we can talk about with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Truth, but this is what I want to focus on. Next week, we'll talk about God's Spirit guiding us in witness. To take part in the Father's mission in the world as Christ's ambassadors, we need more than just power or help. Because you can have all the power you want from the wind. You can be in the middle of a hurricane, but if you don't know how to harness it, if you don't know how to go with it in the right direction, it's not going to do you any good. We also need God's direction. And thankfully, Jesus sends us in the Spirit of Truth. Again, Jesus' earlier teaching helps us to grasp what he means when he says, receive the Spirit. Specifically, receive the Spirit of Truth. So let's hear from Jesus in John 17, verses 15 through 19, when he prays to God the Father, for his disciples, for the world, for the future of the church. He's just about to be betrayed. And he says, praise. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, talking about his disciples, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He's saying they are aligned with me and your rule in the world, just as I am. And he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Sounds a little bit familiar, huh? And he says, and for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus didn't need consecration or being set apart or being sanctified or being made holy because he had sinned, but he was being set apart to serve God. We need that transformation. Jesus does not. But he says that they may also be sanctified in truth, that they may also become part of God's people and sent on a mission from God. So the Spirit of Truth works in conjunction with the truth of God's word. Say that part again. The Spirit of Truth works in conjunction with the truth of God's word. God's word sets us apart or sanctifies us as we hear and obey God's word. In seeking to obey God, God's Spirit leads us in everyday life to people who need to experience the love of Jesus and people who need to hear the good news about Jesus. This is the kind of heart, the surrendering heart, that is like angling our wings to fly. God's still at work even when we don't do those things, but if we want to get in on the action, that's how we have the right kind of wings to the wind of God's Spirit, so to speak. And the really cool thing is that along the way, God's Spirit transforms us to make us more and more like Jesus. As we're taking part in other people's transformation, God is also transforming us along the way. And so if you're ever feeling like, you know what, God, I've got to clean up my act, I've got to get all this stuff figured out, I'm not good enough to serve you, no. That's not how God works. There might be times when God says, I want you to focus on a certain area of life, but God doesn't wait for you to get your act cleaned up and then go and serve. He says, start serving me, and along the way, we'll make you more and more like my son. I want to close by focusing on some of the ways Jesus might be sending us in the Spirit in our current cultural context. What some of the ways that might look like. These are not the only ways. These are just ways to get us thinking about what God might be up to. We're living in what many call a post-Christian culture. It's a time when we can't assume that people know the Christian story, biblical language, biblical concepts. And this is especially true amongst younger generations. People are focused on and talking about and debating human flourishing, which isn't such a bad topic, because we're all humans, right? We all want to flourish. We want other people to flourish. And God's also concerned about this. I love what New Testament scholar Ricky Watts suggests. He says that we should be sharing the good news about the good news of a new humanity in Christ, how God is renewing our humanity. And that's one of the ways that the scriptures talk about the gospel. You can read Romans 5. Verses 12 through 21, for example. We can connect with people in this quest and in our quest to be renewed in certain moments of life, in highs and lows and hurts and hopes. So those are the four kind of moments I want to talk about, highs and lows and hurts and hopes. Let's start off talking about the highs and the lows. Life has its highs and lows, right? If you're a realist, if you're opening your eyes to real life, it's just, that's how life works. Right now, a lot of people are probably experiencing a lot more lows than highs, I would venture to guess. Jesus was very much in touch with this reality. He met people wherever they were at. And people who were especially at their lows really connected with Jesus. There are opportunities to connect with people who do not yet know Jesus in highs and in lows. Paul says in Romans 12:15, to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. In other words, be present. And again, during quarantine, it might seem like, well, how can I be present with people? What does that look like? Well, during the highs, how can we bless people in the midst of their celebrations of highs of life? Maybe we can't go to weddings or baby showers or graduations as we normally could. But what are some ways we can go out of our way to bless people, get creative, where we can celebrate them by dropping off balloons at their house, or have flowers delivered, or give them a special little gift? And for people's lows, normally when we would connect with people in the morning, we might listen to encourage them, but it might be harder to do that. Again, we've got to get creative. How can we connect with people during their lows? We can bless them with offers of help. Maybe doing something like gardening in their front yard, or can I help you with groceries, or can I bless you with sending you a meal from Grubhub or Postmates? I bet you if you look around, there's probably some people in our neighborhood and our communities who are losing their jobs. How can we bless them in the midst of this time? How can we connect with them? So that's the highs and the lows. Then there's also the hurts and the hopes. Connecting with people and their hurts and their hopes is kind of a deeper level, right? Usually that happens more often with friendships that are developing. People might be in crisis moments and you might be able to connect with them, but usually it's amongst people we consider to be maybe better friends. And as we're making these friendships, as we're living life together, there's going to be lots of opportunities to hear people's hurts and hopes. When people hurt, we can share with them with God's comfort, God's healing power. When people hurt, we can share with them God's comfort. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 at the beginning of the chapter that we are strengthened by receiving God's comfort so that we can comfort other people. Friends, I bet you there are a lot of people right here, right now, who are hurting. And at home, there are people that you're regularly connected with that are hurting. If you have the strength to comfort, it's time to reach out. I think more and more we need to be asking one another, how are you doing? But, like, how are you really doing? Not really get up in people's business or, you know, not respond to certain cues where people don't want to share, but really go there with people that we can go there with and ask, you know, how's that going? I imagine it must be hard having 3 kids at home. What's that like to deal with that? How can I help you? And if people are hurting and need God's healing touch, you can say, can I pray for you? And maybe I can do it right now. And so there's lots of different ways that we can really connect with people as they're hurting. And then we're going to encounter people that are hoping. I bet you there's lots of dashed hopes right now. People probably had hopes for businesses, for jobs, for postponed weddings, for all these different things that they hoped were going to happen. How can we mourn with people in the midst of that? How can we maybe come alongside them and help them? Be a paraclete to them, if you will. Help them to maybe still celebrate, still fulfill those hopes in the midst of those times. And also, when we go deeper, we can point them to the hope of the gospel. How all those hopes, as we affirm what is good in those hopes, how do those kinds of hopes point to the hope of the gospel? These are just some of the moments that God can and does use. There's so many different ways that the Spirit is at work. And again, the good news is the Spirit doesn't wait for us to get our act together. This is about us getting in on what God is doing and taking part and having the blessing of serving others. The question isn't, is the Spirit blowing? And right now I'm really thankful that the wind is blowing. That's not the question. The question is, will you and I get in on the action? Will we rely on the Spirit's power and direction and go fly with Him? So we are sent by the Father to take part in what God is doing in the world. We're sent in the Spirit's power and direction. And we're sent to witness in all that we say and do. Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were sent to save us, to die on the cross, to rise again for our new life. We thank you that you have not only saved us, but you called us into something greater, into what you're doing in this world. And Lord, we need your renewal. We need your Spirit to be at work. Help us, Lord, to take part in what you are doing. We trust you, Lord. Help us to have surrendered hearts for you. It's in your name we pray.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpsb.org.